Hello, and welcome to Around the Political World with John Rothman. I am your host, John Rothman. If you're a fan of the show, make sure to hit the follow button on the top right of Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening at this very moment. When you hit follow, leave a review or share an episode with a friend. It helps other people discover the show, keeps us going, and expands our base. So much news, and it's all about Donald Trump. We have a former president of the United States who is now an unindicted co-conspirator. Wait a minute. That sounds familiar. When Richard Nixon was named an unindicted co-conspirator, the nation was in shock. But it seems with Donald Trump, the shock has worn off. Perhaps Donald Trump's antics have become too routine, too much a part of the fabric of our political discussion. But to me, the indictment of key aides, including Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani, on electoral college vote fraud, that is the attempt to replace legitimate winners with electors who were not elected, is to me a real debasement of the American political system. Questions are asked, why is Donald Trump an unindicted co-conspirator? The answer is because I think there has been a genuine effort to be fair with Donald Trump. That is to say, to make sure that he has his day in court. And let me tell you, his aides will have their day in court, and I believe ultimately he will as well. But the real issue this morning is the question of presidential immunity. Donald Trump is claiming that he cannot be indicted because he's immune. He was president of the United States. I believe that the Supreme Court, when it hears the arguments this morning, will have to realize that no one is above the law. The United States versus Richard Nixon proved conclusively that even a president is not above the law. And I believe they will uphold that decision. Remember, it was 8-0, with one justice, William Rehnquist, recusing himself because he felt that because he'd been in the Nixon Justice Department, that he had a bias or might not be clear or might not be fair. And so the Supreme Court acted. And I believe if the Supreme Court acts as I believe they will, after they hear the arguments, they will render a judgment, and it will be against Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump can be indicted with a clear conscience by grand juries across the country for electoral interference. I was very interested this morning when I heard that the argument is now being made that what Donald Trump has done is a violation of the American political system. The fact that Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani will stand trial, I believe in the end, will mean that Donald Trump will face the same justice. Let me talk for a moment, if I can, about what it means for a president to argue for immunity when at the same moment he is being indicted, well, in the American mind. And let me explain what I mean by that. Richard Nixon was an unindicted co-conspirator, named by the Watergate grand jury. Donald Trump is now, in Arizona, an unindicted co-conspirator. And I believe the fact that he is an unindicted co-conspirator is an important part of who we are. But the simple fact is that it has become routine for Donald Trump to find himself in these positions. It must not be routine. We must not allow it to be routine. We must demand that justice be done, one way or the other. If Donald Trump is innocent, let him be acquitted. But I remember vividly sitting in the KGO studios as we received the first report of phony electors being named, and all the phony certificates came across the wires, and we read them. And I said to myself, of course Donald Trump had a hand in this. And clearly his key aide, Mark Meadows, who is White House Chief of Staff, and his key lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, had a hand in it as well, which is why they have been indicted. Once the Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump does not have immunity, I believe that Donald Trump will then face justice. I want to move to another factor, and that is that courtroom in New York, where Donald Trump is now sitting. And the question is, will he be held in contempt? He ought to be. Just yesterday, there were at least four violations, according to the press reports that I've read. And we'll just have to see. Perhaps, as you listen to this podcast, the decision will already be rendered about whether he was in contempt of court. By the way, I don't believe he should go to jail, but I do believe there should be a fine. And I do believe that there needs to be an understanding by the American people that whether you are for Donald Trump or against Donald Trump, the simple truth is, this is a guy who's unfit to be president. And that is the message which must be spread far and wide. The Republican convention hasn't met yet. And even though he has the delegates, perhaps the Republicans will come to their senses. Who knows? I want to deal with another subject today, and that has to do with a call by 18 nations for the hostages held by Hamas to be released. Who are those 18? Argentina, Austria, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Colombia, Denmark, France, Germany, Hungary, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Spain, Thailand, the United Kingdom, and the United States of America. You will note that the Israelis did not participate in this particular effort. They want the world to speak out. But I would also point out to you all those nations who did not speak out, who have not called for the release of the hostages, and indeed the United Nations, which has remained silent. And as for the protests taking place on campuses across the country, let me point out that they are not speaking out condemning what Hamas did. They are not speaking out demanding the release of hostages. They are not speaking out condemning the rape, the murder, the pillage which took place on October 7th. Let the hypocrisy be understood. And let us also understand that, sadly, those students who were protesting seem not to be aware that Hamas still calls for the destruction of Israel, that they do not want a two-state solution, they want a one-state solution. One wonders if the most extreme situation were to emerge. One wonders whether or not, if Israel were destroyed, campuses across America would have protests, whether or not people would really care. I must be crystal clear about this. I quoted in another podcast Eric Hoffer, who once said, "The problem of the world is they expect the Jews to be the only real Christians in the world." Thank God that the world, in part, is speaking out. But where is the rest of the world? Where are those of us who want justice and freedom for hostages? Thanks for tuning into another episode of Around the Political World. I am John Rothman. Make sure to follow along and let me know your thoughts on the show by leaving a message on Apple Podcasts and sharing an episode with a friend or colleague so we can continue to expand, to grow, which, of course, is our goal. You can give me feedback, as you do regularly, on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And I want to say a special word of thanks to our wonderful producer, Gogo Zoger, who makes sure that Around the Political World with John Rothman is posted each and every day. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be glued to what the news is today. And I'll see you tomorrow morning, right here on Around the Political World with John Rothman. See you then.